Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Hey, it's Monday night, baby. We're leading you into Monday Night Football, so give us a call, join the line, let's talk some sports, let's have some fun. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Got a lot of them coming in, Ray, about your Cowboys. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. We've got the top 25 there, NFL standings, whole bunch of poll questions, a lot of fun, very interactive. Tweet at us, Facebook us. Ray and Tay Today, we are available. Ray, two things. Number one, the Patriots are back. And, hey, should the Jets bench Geno Smith and start Mike Vick? I mean, what's going on, man?
I tell you what, some teams have questions and some teams have answers. So last week, the Patriots had some questions, and their fans specifically had some questions about, you know, on the Patriots for real. It's a lot like 2 weeks ago with the Packers, you know, where your boy Aaron Rodgers said relax. So you feel good if you're a Patriot fan. You feel good if you're a Packer fan. But if you're a Jets fan, you don't feel so good.
I don't feel so
You've
good.
You've got serious indigestion right now. You lost four in a row. You won the first game against a pretty weak Oakland team. You lost four in a row. You're 1-4, and this season could quick, fast, and in a hurry get away from you. So your question, do you bench Geno? It's a complicated question because to me, if you bench Geno, then basically you're saying that either him or Rex or Idzik, like two out of the three, are not going to be here next year.
So, which is very much the case, probably.
So I'm not sure. Look, I don't know what Michael Vick's going to give you that you don't already know. He didn't look that good, but I don't expect guys to come off the bench and be fantastic. So to me, if I'm the Jets, you ride Geno to the very end, and then if you decide he's not your quarterback, then you move on with Michael Vick or anybody else. But once you've come this far, I think you have to let the Geno Smith experiment go all the way. Now, if you bring Vick in for a series or for a half, you know, that's okay. But if you start to say Michael Vick's your starting quarterback, then I think you're done. Then Geno's days in New York as the starting quarterback are over.
Well, you know, everything that you said, I would agree with. You know, looking at it in multifaceted ways, I would say Rex is done in New York. Usually when you bring in a new GM, he wants to hire his own coach. Woody did not let him do that. And so Rex has been, you know, has stayed around and he probably earned it. But I think it's clear that this was kind of like a throwaway season because, to be honest, they didn't get any talent for him. And, you know, you got Marcus Vick chirping on Twitter, Vick's brother, you know, let him, you know, practice. There's no weapons on his team. Well, it's all true. And I think for any Jet fan to not be realistic and not realize and not see the roster for what it is, you cannot do anything with Decker, Curley, and nobody. There are no receivers. You have two, at best, average to better than average running backs, a rookie tight end who, yeah, he might have some talent, but that's going to take some time to develop in Jason Morrow. And they have no weapons. Decker can't play. He can't stay on the field with a hamstring. He's really, at best, a number two receiver. So, look, I don't even know if they're worth talking about. Like you said, I'm more impressed with the Sunday Night Football game, 43-17, Patriots over the Bengals. Patriots are back. That's why I picked them to go to the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, which, you know, we'll get into the Monday Night game later. And, you know, Brady and Belichick right the ship to get, you know, Stork and the veteran offensive lineman around him, the young rookie Stork going, and it seems like everything is okay. The one thing that I that I took from this game, and I wanted to see what you thought about it, was they finally utilized Timothy Wright, the tight end from Tampa that they got in the trade from Logan Mankin. And I remember I mentioned on Friday's show, where's he been? Well, he finally came out. Gronkowski's getting healthier by the minute. And they have Vereen and Ridley to run the ball. So with that combination of stretching, you know, the field in the middle of the field, and then you sprinkle in a little bit of Edelman and Dobson, and, you know, it looks like the Patriots have righted the ship. Do you feel confident enough in this defense that they can sort of hang around to the end in this new strong AFC? Because let's be honest, Ray, the NFC has been the strongest conference for years. Well, right now, Broncos, Patriots, Bengals, Chargers, Colts. The AFC has got a couple of teams in there that look very impressive, especially San Diego.
San Diego, Superchargers. They should just wear those powder blues every game. And
every week. So do you believe in the Patriots defense? I mean, what do you think?
So the Patriots defense is very young, and they've got a bunch of moving parts. I actually think the Patriots script is going to be very similar to the script that they've kind of had the last few years, which is they'll win the AFC East, and then eventually a tougher team will shut them down in the playoffs. And when you need a play and when you need a first down and when you need to move the chains, I'm not sure that Gronk's really the only stud. And this kid Wright might be right, you know, on his tails, you know, 3, 4, 5 years away. But I'm not sure that Julian Edelman. That's why Kemble Tompkins to me is a mystery. I mean, you thought this
right.
guy was talented and fast.
He
and
had
young
the size,
and,
speed,
and
yeah.
had potential, and they drafted him. It's not like it's a guy they picked up off the waiver wire. They scouted him and drafted him. So to me, that's the most disappointing, because I just, again, I have this issue when you need a first down and it's fourth quarter and you're on the road, because that's what you're talking about if you're a Patriots fan, right? Because you're not trying to make the playoffs. You're not even trying to win the AFC East.
Super Bowl or nothing, yeah.
That's no big deal for you. So right now, you're trying to go all the way. And I'm not sure that this team, as it's configured, can do that. Like you said, questions on defense and on offense. I mean, Brady spreads it out, but who's getting you that tough first down? And then are you going to run it with Ridley and Vereen? So I just feel like this team has question marks.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to the rest of the NFL in a minute. Right now, we have got to, like Ray said, like the whole sports nation, we have got to give some love to the MLB playoffs. I mean, we'll update you right now. It looks like the Nats are trying to stay alive. What, they're up 3-0. And what is it? Top of the ninth. Over the Giants. The Giants lead the series 2-0. Now, let's start with the American League, though, because some teams they brought the brooms out, right? They took care of business. Congratulations to the Baltimore Orioles and the Kansas City Royals. You know, you could argue or debate that they were the two underdogs, although the Orioles were at home against the Tigers. But, I mean, definitely the best team in baseball was taken out by the Royals. They took out the Angels. That was impressive. I love what Hosmer and Moustakas, these guys last night, man, just banging out home runs, clutch hitting, and they sweep them 3-0. You know, to me, you as a baseball fan, you can't help but love both of those teams. Orioles are exciting. The Royals are amazing. And these two teams playing each other, it's sort of funny, right? Because you have the team that hit the most home runs against the team that hit the least home runs. So, you know, you got all these opposites, the most stolen bases against the least stolen bases. So it's kind of good that they're matching up. But I'm just fascinated by how the AL playoffs played out and played out rather quickly, you know?
Yeah, I didn't predict the outcome. In fact, I predict the opposite outcome. And if in both of those series, and if you would have asked me, is it possible if KC would win? I'd say very, very unlikely. Possible if Baltimore could win? I'd say more likely. But if you told me that both of them would sweep, I'd be like, nah, are you crazy? That's not happening. But they both
suck. Our guy, Buck Showalter, baby. Great manager.
Yeah, I hope he gets his credit, and I hope he gets to bring his team to the dance. You know? And think about it. If you're Kansas City, though, you're thinking to yourself, we went through the Lions' den of the Angels and that stacked roster. We don't have to face Detroit. Look, maybe I'm the only one, but I still think Detroit's pitching staff is so formidable, I'd rather face the home run hitters in Baltimore than those pitchers in Detroit. So, to me, if you're Kansas City, you're probably thinking, yeah, this is the matchup we want. We want the Orioles. Even though they're playing well, we want
right.
the Orioles. So, are you telling me the Kansas City Royals can go to the World Series?
All right. You saw George Brett there. It gave me chills. You know, anybody that's, you know, a longtime
this
baseball fan like us.
Baseball.
Yeah, man.
Orioles,
I mean,
right?
I'm ready to bring out Eddie Murray and Earl Weaver for the Orioles back in the day,
the
too.
The Orioles won in 83 and the
Royals
won Ripken. In 85.
Yeah, no, this is classic 80s baseball, and it's just great to see. But I tell you, the Royals, they play defense. They play some serious defense. I like the way they play ball, and give them credit. They weren't hitting many homers in the season, but in the playoffs, they've been knocking them out. And
yeah,
timely
give Ned Yost some credit.
Definitely,
he kept that team up all year.
Yeah, so, I mean, before we go to this NL, I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, it's going to be on Friday, but right now, just you know, before they line up all the pitching matchups, who would you take? Orioles or the Royals? Seven-game series. Game
you know
one Friday
heart.
In Baltimore.
You know my heart is with the underdog. You know I love me some underdog.
Yeah.
But I think the Orioles are just too tough. I mean, the Orioles, you know, that
now,
lineup.
Game six, Chris Davis could come back game six.
Yeah, so even better, right? They get Chris Davis back. But that lineup where they have Marquez, and even Pierce is hitting. So Pierce and Jones,
yeah.
Nelson Cruz,
ooh.
And if they were to get Chris Davis back,
I think
I might take
go
the Orioles in six.
Yeah, so Orioles in six. I'll take Baltimore in seven. I believe in Kansas City that much, and I just, you know, originally I thought going into the playoffs that it would be Baltimore and the Dodgers, so I'm going to roll with that, but we'll see. Now, let's go to the National League. I mean, obviously we touched on this game. Giants are now it's 4-0, and you know, good for the Nats, right? Because now look, you still don't know bottom of the ninth. I mean, you know, that epic game that was like the longest. What was it like 6 hours? That baseball game that they played the other night,
the 18-inning game.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we've had longer games, but it was the longest postseason game. I just. You know, I said it the other day on Saturday show, and you really, it's so true. With the Cardinals and Giants, you're going to earn any series win you get over them. And I'm glad the Nats are you know, you hate to see sweeps. You like to see some competition. So maybe the Nats hold on and pull this out. They got to, you know, Madison Brumberger. And so good, you know, that the Nats, you know, played some good ball. I just don't know if the Nats can come back and win the whole series. I still think the Giants are going to take the Nats out in this one. What are you thinking?
I love the Giants' experience, and I love their grit and their determination. You know, I want to choose the Nats because I had the Nats going to the World Series, and I really thought that they would come in and have some momentum hitting the playoffs. They're going to win this game, so they'll be down 2-1. I can't see them winning the next two, you know, one in Washington and one in San Francisco. So
yeah.
I think the Nats are going to win the series. I think the Nats are going to win the series. So the question is, all right,
the Giants.
What about the Giants in St. Louis? And they start they throw first okay. pitch at 9:07 tonight. Series tied 1-1. This one
Dodgers
is one for the ages. This could go five.
I think it's going to go five, and let me tell you something. both these teams. I mean, let's applaud Matt Kemp, baby, because everybody wanted to ride this guy off. Oh, he's the fourth outfielder, yada, yada, yada. I mean, show some respect. This guy was like an MVP just a couple years ago and a great player. He had an injury, but I'm so glad Kemp came back. You know, it's good for the Dodgers. It's good for baseball. And I just – tonight is going to be – this is going to be a great matchup. Who do we have on the mound? Who is it? Rui and
– Oh, yeah, Ryu. Ryu for the Dodgers, yeah. And John Lackey for the
– Ah, that's right, Lackey, who they made the trade to get him. Did you hear a story about him?
He's always in the playoffs. Like, this guy always finds himself pitching in the playoffs.
That's right. He was with the Angels. And,
all those years with the Angels.
Did you hear about Lackey, though, to get his jersey number, the 41? He gave he traded Babe Ruth baseball, signed Babe Ruth baseball with, I forgot the guy that was wearing his number, so he can get his jersey, his 41. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so and the fact that he had that is pretty awesome. I think the Dodgers are going to win this series, but if you tell me the Cardinals win in five, I wouldn't be shocked. I just think it's going to come down to hitting. You wonder if the Cardinals will miss. I know they got Holiday and they got the different bats. You think that they'll miss some of the bats that were clutch for them in the past, like Craig or Freeze? I wonder.
I think so.
Yeah, I do.
What will also be interesting to me, though, is that they hit Kershaw in game one. Now, Kershaw is coming back on 3 days rest.
Right.
So we'll see how effective Clayton Kershaw is going to be, because obviously on extended rest,
he's pitching game four.
On 3 days rest. Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball, you know, and we'll see how he does in the playoffs under pressure on 3 days rest.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be exciting. So, all right, so let's keep it moving. I mean, to me, it's just one of those things where you're just like, oh, the baseball is so great. This is the one thing I will say about it before we leave, right? Baseball, the playoffs, you almost feel like you have to see every pitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's that exciting because everything means so much, you know? And if, like, C.J. Wilson with the Angels, man, he couldn't even get out the first inning. You know what I mean? Like, that team, Ray. Let me ask you. I want to ask you, because Trout got the last out. Give Pujols some credit, right? I mean, he did hit two home runs in the series. Mike Trout did not have a big series. He had the one home run. What was he, like 1-for-12, I think, in the series? I mean, he Mike Trout struggled. The MVP of the American League and Mr. Wonderboy. You know, in an 8-3 loss, Mike Trout was him and Josh Hamilton. They were horrible, right?
Well, Pujols too. I mean, Pujols had that one, you know, a couple of clutch hits. But I'm pulling up the box score right now. So Mike Trout 0.083, Albert Pujols 0.167, Howie Kendrick 154.
Wow.
The only person that really showed up, Eric Ivar, hit 455. He was 4-for-4 and. In the losing cause, but yeah, they couldn't hit.
That's wild.
CJ Wilson only goes 2/3 of an inning, and then you got to pull out the stops, and at that point, you knew it was over. Kansas City was just chomping at the bit. They scored 3 in the first, 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth. Once they were up 7-1, it was wrapped.
Like
7-2,
they couldn't stop. No, definitely. So, hey, before we get to this top 25 in college football, because, you know, we Saturday talked about most of the games. Obviously, there were some, you know, later games we didn't touch on, and, you know, the rankings are out. Two little things. Number one, NASCAR, your boy Joey Logano wins again. So that was great over the weekend. And then, Ray, we got to talk about the NBA real quick. Did you see this new television deal? A 9-year extension, which will take you to 24-25 for $24 billion with ESPN, TNT, and ABC. Wow,
that's why all those guys were trying to get contracts that were up in 2016, Kevin Durant being the first of them, and LeBron obviously
and LeBron,
with his opt out. These guys know what they're doing.
That is going to be I mean, they're saying that basically the salary, I mean, the teams in terms of what will lead them to revenue will basically for the salary cap could each have three times as much as they did going in. I mean, that it's mind boggling. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well,
they're
it's
looking,
triple because the yeah. old TV contract was averaging, I think, $925,930 a year, and this one's going to average $2.66 billion a year. And remember, the NBA owners were claiming to be poor, and
they can't
they
do
were
it no more.
Money, and they brought the salary cap. What is it? Non-basketball related or basketball related
yeah.
revenue?
Almost 50-50, yeah.
Right, from 57% down to like 49 or 50%. But now the tables have turned and all that media money's coming in. So now the players are like, okay, we're ready.
Yeah.
You can, and you know, you had the worst franchise potentially from a valuation standpoint in the Milwaukee Bucks sell for $550 million.
Yeah.
You have a Clipper team sell for $2 billion. You got this TV contract. Players are going to be out there ready with their hands out. They're
right.
like, okay,
exactly.
we're the product.
Now,
we want to get paid.
Now, and they were saying, though, in related basketball activities or whatever, that nine teams last year in the NBA lost money, which is hard to believe. I mean, they're sort of releasing this on the heels of this contract or whatever. I'd have to see the books. But if that's the case, it won't be anymore. But we got to announce this. Kenneth Faried decided to sign and stay home. 5 years, $60 million. I would say it's a discount after his great play to stay, sign an extension with the Denver Nuggets. What do you think about that? The Nuggets keeping Faried.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him and good for them. I mean, it sounds like it's a team that's they have a good thing going. So I like his game.
They've got the wrong address, right? The Western Conference. Because if you look at it this year, the Nuggets could be good if they're healthy and still be a 9 or 10 seed.
Yeah,
which is
that's just terrible. Not only that, but here's what's even worse. I mean, except for the Spurs, everybody's young. You know, the Clippers are young. The Trailblazers are young. Your
Rockies.
Phoenix Suns out there are young. The Houston Rockets are middle-aged, I would say. They're not young. They're not old. They're kind of
right
in the prime of their careers. So if you're the Denver Nuggets and you're Kenneth Faried and you're like, well, what's the future? You better love Denver because I don't think you're getting out of the first round or the second round anytime in the next 3-4 years.
Not with that roster.
No.
You know, not with that roster. So – just a couple of tidbits. They said they might be looking at switching up the NBA lottery, which would be kind of – I think it's fine. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I mean, change the percentages a little bit. I think it's silly. I think they should leave the NBA lottery alone, you know. So I don't know what you think about that, but we'll see.
Yeah, it works for me. I mean, once in a while, every few years, you have the allegations of teams tanking. But remember, we put the lottery in place in 85 for Patrick
Ewing.
So that – people would tank. I think it does its job. I have no problem with the lottery as it's currently configured.
Yeah, no, definitely. Our buddy Mike from Pittsburgh might want to change it, one of the callers to the show. But anyway, so let's talk some college football, Ray. I mean, they come out with the rankings. We'll just talk AP. You know, there's little differences between, I guess, the USA Today. Now, you know, October, I think it's 28th, is the official committee's rankings will come out. So I guess that's going to be what sort of is the real rankings. I don't know, you know, what, you know, how to label it or call it. So we still got a couple of weeks for that. You know, we're in week six, college football, Florida State, 35 votes for number one. You get 23 for Auburn. And then number three, Mississippi State gets 2 votes and Ole Miss number 4. Baylor at number 5, your boys, the Fighting Irish at 6, Bama 7, so on and so on. Michigan State comes back in, TCU at 9, and then at number 10, Arizona jumps all the way up to number 10. So what jumps out at you? I mean, obviously it's Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC dominated. What do you think about the top 25 and just how – how it's looking, and right now, who would be your four? If you're on the committee, who's Ray? We'll have to give you our four. Who's Ray and Tay's four right now?
So, well, let me first shout out two states, like we talked about offline. The state of Mississippi and the state of Alabama. You've got, in those two states, between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, tied at three, and then Auburn and Alabama, you know, perennial powerhouses, have won three, the last three national championships. But those four teams are four of the top seven teams coming out of Alabama, Mississippi.
Hey, and the state of Arizona is not that bad either. Not that far behind.
Yeah. Represent Arizona. Get his Arizona crew in there. Arizona State at 20 and Arizona at 10. But my four, look, until you beat them, they're still there. So you got to give Florida State pretty much the nod right now as the number one seed. Then everything else after that falls into place. So as it stands right now, I don't think they'll be there at the end of the year. But as it stands right now, you got to give Nick Marshall and Auburn credit at number two. And you've got to say, okay, is Notre Dame for real? Because, you know, they're going to play that ACC schedule, but they don't play the SEC schedule, right? They don't play the horses that they play in the SEC. So as I look at it right now, though, I still like – so I like Florida State. I like Auburn. Alabama just got too many injuries, so I might have to get off of the Alabama bandwagon, go with Michigan State. And you know what? My dark horse, even though I didn't think they would – I thought they'd lose to Stanford. But I don't know. I might still give Oregon some burn, even though they're 4-1. To me, that would be my four. Just looking at them, teams that are just tough on paper and tough on the field. So I like those four. And again, I come back to the SEC is going to beat up on each other. So it's going to be so hard to have more than one. I mean, maybe you have two SEC teams. But look, SEC is the best conference by far, and they're just going to work it for themselves. They're just going to beat up on each other.
So basically what you're saying is – I mean, honestly, what you're saying is 12 to 13 teams still have a legitimate shot, you know, even if Georgia winds up running the table. And that's what's great for college football, the parity. It's sort of just like the NFL, you know. I don't know. Like, for me, you know, it seems like you're kind of projecting a little. If I just went, like, right now, you know, I was pretty impressed with Notre Dame. And I don't like Notre Dame, but that was, you know, unless I see that Stanford is really not that good, which, you know, they're not, I don't, you know, Hogan has been disappointing. Stanford's defense is great, but Stanford has not been that good this year, if we're being honest. But Notre Dame, to me, was pretty impressive. I don't necessarily believe in Baylor. You know, so I said it on Saturday. I do think that Prescott is a new superstar in SEC. I like Dak Prescott. So I would right now I'd have to go with, let's say, against what I picked in the beginning of the season in Michigan State and Oregon. I would say Florida State, Auburn. I don't think Mississippi State will hang around, even though I like them, because I think Auburn's going to beat Mississippi State. I think they play this week. And I don't think Ole Miss will be able to survive the SEC. So I would say Florida State, Auburn. I think Notre Dame is going to somehow sneak in there. Maybe they upset Florida State. And then a Big 12 team might get in there. Because I just don't think Michigan State – I think Oregon's going to lose again. And I think Michigan State's claim to fame was they were leading Oregon. And I don't think they're going to have any other big wins. Ohio State will be their best win for the rest of the season. So you could see a TCU, maybe Oklahoma decides to run the table, even though there's no Big 12 title. So I don't know. It could be two SEC teams, but I think Florida State, Auburn, Notre Dame, and, you know, you could toss it up between a Michigan State, a TCU, or maybe if Arizona ran the table. We'll see how good the rest of the Pac-12 plays out. But one thing I will say, I like seeing these sort of new bloods, right? It's not the the classic Oklahoma, Alabama. You know, it's kind of nice to see a TCU, to see Arizona, to see a Ole Miss, a Mississippi State. I think it's a lot of fun, you know, for the fans. So.
For sure, for sure. You know, the SEC's won, what was it, 7 national championships in a row. It was nice to see Florida State break that. And it's nice to see other teams, like you said, TCU. Who thought TCU would be in the top 15? That's fun.
And that game was amazing, Ray. They balled out. I got to tell you.
Baylor, what about my Baylor Bears?
No,
what about my Bryce Petty, my right? pick for Heisman Trophy?
Listen, and we haven't even spoken Heisman that much, but, you know, I haven't seen Petty stats, but I'm sure he's – you know, doing big things. But, I mean, between Todd Gurley and Nick Marshall, can this kid get some respect? Wow, he's amazing. And quiet as kept, what about Everett Golson? I mean, that was a huge 4th-and-11 touchdown, beating Stanford in the rain. I mean, and then, of course, the kid from Mississippi State, Dak Prescott. Listen, if they ever do beat Auburn this week, I mean, gosh, Mississippi State, the world could turn upside down. The whole country, right? For college sports, it's going to be, oh, man, I can't wait. All you can say is, right, you just look forward to Saturdays, you know? I mean, it's definitely, I think it's beyond on fire. And so that's, hey, it's a lot of fun. So let's rock out to some beats, and we'll come back, finish strong with fantasy football, NFL Week 5, Monday Night Football predictions, and Thursday Night predictions. Day in, day out. Day
out. Day out. How can we really see with our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds. How can we really see with our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds.
We're back. And we're back to talk NFL Week 5. We'll talk a little bit about the games that were and the game that will be. So tonight we have a pretty good matchup, Seattle-Washington. We'll get to that in a sec. But let's talk a little bit about what transpired on Sunday. Now that we got the ugly out of the way with the Jets, we talked a little bit about it. I don't think there's that much to talk about. All of us Jet fans are sitting here thinking we got to rebuild again. Let's talk about the good. Let's talk about some of the good games.
I'll tell you this, and I thought it would be a good game, and it played out exactly how I thought. The Niners 22-17 over Kansas City. I think you know, the Chiefs, they show themselves to be a very good football team, but you know, it's hard to go after that emotional win to go then win in San Francisco. And I think the Niners, they've got the blueprint back. And I think what I said, man, it happened, and it's the Hall of Famer, Frank Gore. 18 carries is the perfect amount. You know, Hyde gets his carries, 107 yards. Frank Gore is solid. Brandon Lloyd gets that big first down from Kaepernick. You know, they've got enough talent that as he starts to gel and they get Vernon Davis healthy back, which they need, you know, this team is just building and building and building. And I don't care that they don't like the coach, and he probably won't be there next year. He'll be at the Dolphins or Michigan, whatever. They're playing for this year. And this year they're playing all dice on the table, all in, trying to win a Super Bowl. And what did he do, Kaepernick? No interceptions, Ray. And that's always going to be the key. You know, to manage the game, hand off the ball. You like that Hyde gets 10 carries, you know, 4.3 yards a carry, 43 yards. Kaepernick moves the chains, and the Niners keep on plugging. And for me, you know, for Oren and all the Niner fans out there, you just got to be happy, man. You want them to, you know, get Stevie Johnson and some of these other receivers more involved. But, you know, they hit up Bolden for a couple receptions, and Brandon Lloyd and Crabtree gets, you know, only one. But it's about balance, and I think the Niners have potential to be extremely balanced. And the defense, when they get healthy, they'll be, you know. Big interception by Parris Cox, too, on that last drive with Smith. That was huge. So that's my take on that.
You know what? you know what, the San Francisco team, I'm just waiting for them to put a stretch of 5 or 6 wins together and then reclaim that elite status that I keep saying that they are. But until you do it on the field, you don't do it on the field. So let me ask you about the most surprising game of the weekend. Not only the outcome, but how it played out, with Cleveland struggling and having to come back to beat Tennessee 29-28.
Down 28-3.
On the road.
Largest comeback in NFL history, Ray, on the road from Brian Hoyer, the Cleveland native. I was impressed. I mean, I got Delanie Walker in fantasy, and you know that was it for me in this game. But I got to tell you, I'm nervous as a Steeler fan. You know, we go to Cleveland next week, and quiet is kept. AFC North is a pretty good division, and if Cleveland is the worst team in our division, we're a pretty good division. Because I think Cleveland, one thing Cleveland can do, offensive line is legit. They're like the Cowboys in that sense. They can run the ball, Ray. And,
right.
You know, Ben Tate came back.
I was about to say, right? Ben Tate said, you know, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell are nice, but I'm Ben Tate, you know,
yes.
Is my show.
But how good is it to have 3 running backs that any week can get 100 yards? So, that's awesome. But 22 carries, 123. He toted the rock, as they say. And I think, you know, they're just – if they can put some wins together, because I think after Pittsburgh, they play like Tampa and Jacksonville, you know, Cleveland could get on a little win streak. So kudos to the Browns. I thought it was a good win, and, you know, I like this team. I don't like them because they go against my Steelers, but, you know, as a fan, when you watch them play, they're like the cardiac kids, right? That's what I thought of, because they always come back, right? They ain't scared.
I tell you what, and they've been knocking on the door for 3-4 years. So give Cleveland credit. They've been patient. Remember, we kind of killed them for trading Trent Richardson, and they've been building this team up, and it looks like Brian Hoyer is a baller. And Johnny Manziel might have to wait a little longer. So this Cleveland team, they could even be, you know, every game they're in. So they're 2-2 right now, but they could clearly be, even if they split them, they could have been 3-1 pretty easily. So I like this Cleveland team. I think they're building it right in Cleveland. They need a little bit more dynamic playmaking, and I bet you if Josh Gordon were here, they'd be even better than they are. So, yeah, if you're sitting – remember we talked about the neighborhood, right? The AFC West is not the neighborhood you want to be in if you're an up-and-coming team. And I tell you what, the AFC North, that's a tough neighborhood to play in too these days.
It definitely is.
No bad teams.
No. And Baltimore, you know, they had a tough loss and a tough game. The Colts kept turning the ball over and, you know, tried to give the game to Baltimore, but Baltimore didn't want to take it either. It was actually, kind of an ugly game, and the Colts win 2013. But, you know, they just did enough, to pull it out. And, you know, the veteran Reggie Wayne, I think he passed Chris Carter, either what was in receptions, a lot of records in history yesterday. So, you know, and speaking of records in history, we got to talk about the sheriff, man. That 503 touchdowns, Ray. He's about to pass Favre either next week or the week after, but befitting he does it against the Jets, right? He'd probably do it against the Jets. But the Denver Broncos, you kind of called it. I thought it would be closer. It was just too much for Camardi to stick with Bebe. Demaryius Thomas got bisms. I think career high or a Bronco record? 41-20, and he had over 200 receiving yards. And that was just, ridiculous.
What was this whole stink about him and the chop block and everything?
No,
you know,
yeah, they hurt. No, oh yeah, I mean they hurt Calais Campbell, man. They
was that
Julius,
I mean, they're saying
it
that it
Julius
was premeditated.
Thomas.
That it
yeah,
wasn't.
Yeah, no, Julius Thomas. He just went back and hit him. They got to take the block out of the game. He went block, you know, and he's going to be out for 3 weeks. And Manning set a record. You know, he's never thrown for more than 479 yards. That's his career best.
That, to me, was weird.
I was
where
surprised.
That was his career high. I thought he would have certainly had some 500-yard games.
Yeah,
because that's Peyton Manning right there.
So that, he gets the 400 yards, and then, also his 503rd touchdown. So he broke 500. Now he's number two behind Favre. So that's pretty impressive.
I need some doctor advice because I had the last pick in the first round in several several drafts, and I ended up going with the pair of Aaron Rodgers and Monte Ball. Ball was a monster at Wisconsin, and he scored a lot of touchdowns. In fact, he set the NCAA record and was doing big things.
And he's not doing hip-hop now.
He is a dud, and you called it a while ago. You were like, watch out for Ronnie Hillman to go out take that job from Monte Ball. What do I and other fantasy owners do with Monte Ball? If you trade him, you're trading him low. You know, sell high. You want to buy low, sell high. What do I do? Do I stash him? Do I wait it out?
You'd have to bench him, and I'd also see if I could pick up Hillman, if Hillman's still available in some leagues. I try to, go with somebody else. You know, maybe you get lucky and there's a back out there. Maybe you can scoop up Andre Williams, who yesterday had like 16 fantasy points,
Oh, yeah, because Rashard Jennings got a sprained MCL. He's out 3 weeks.
Yeah. So, or this kid, Brandon Oliver for your Superchargers, who's the new Darren Sproles. Because Donald Brown had a concussion.
Just like him.
Yeah,
and he's,
where's his
and
number?
He's wearing that 43.
But remember, Matthews won't be back for a couple more weeks. Woodhead's out for the season. And then yesterday, Donald Brown went out with a concussion. So you don't know if Donald Brown's going to play next week. So
yeah, I had Donald
right
Brown
there,
on my fantasy.
Yeah, right
too.
There I would tell people, try to pick up Oliver and Andre Williams. But and maybe, you look to Arizona and take a shot because it looks like they might start to run Steven Taylor some more. Who knows? Because, Ellington's a stud. But actually, who you can look at? Antoine Smith on the Falcons. Antoine Smith or Antone. That kid.
Antone, yeah.
Every time he touches the ball.
Sad.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dynamic, yes.
So, look. That's the difficult thing of fantasy. You look at some of these teams, but you would think, right? Traditionally, a running back for a Peyton Manning team is going to be a pretty good back, but I don't know with that guy. I tell you who you do want. You want Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, and Emmanuel Sanders. Those guys are insane. Wes Welker, kind of quiet, a quiet 7-for-58. But, as he starts to get in the role there, the Broncos are just the Broncos. I think they're going to keep rolling. And the reality is, can any of these teams in AFC, Chargers, Colts, or Bengals, can they stop the Broncos or Patriots? And that's what it's all going to come down to. Can there be a surprise, in that conference? I think the other conferences, there's open, maybe some NFC some open questions, but I don't know. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think about this? Was a big win, the Carolina Panthers 31-24 over the Bears, and Jay Cutler again. And first of all, Carolina, kudos for getting 31 points with nothing, as we say, right? Doing more with less. Cam Newton and Brady.
That to me was the biggest mystery game of the whole weekend. Was
what a win,
how
man.
Carolina could score 31. Mm-hmm. I thought if the Bears could put up 24 on the Carolina defense, I thought they'd win 24-13. I had no idea that the Carolina Panthers, and if you look at it, you're trying
Forte
to figure
got
out,
busy.
Forte, yes. On receiving, right? Especially if you're in a PPR league, he did you right. 12 catches for 105. But here's the thing. You look at Carolina, and you're like, okay, well, obviously they had a special teams score, but you look at Carolina, and you're like, how did they win this game? Greg Olsen did have two touchdowns, but he had 72 yards on six catches. And then the next most productive guy was what? Jericho Cotchery, Kelvin.
You know what
Benson,
it was? Short fields, Ray. Because
yeah,
when Cutler
yeah.
gave the ball away, and this is the thing in NFL. This is why I said about Kaepernick not turning it over. Cutler, the Bears win this game if he doesn't throw the interceptions. They just do. I mean, you said the Panthers don't have the stats. They don't have the offense. I mean, you got Olsen and Cotchery with the leading receivers at 72 and 46. This was a gift. You know, the young rookie only had three receptions for 38, and Avant finally stepped up and got you two for 42. But the Panthers, they don't have much. So you gave them the game by just, like, handing the ball. And guess what? They're on their third and fourth string running backs. I mean, they're using this kid Reeves. And then, who was the other one? Obanaya or whatever was in there. So, I mean, they, you know, come on. They don't have anybody. I'm disappointed in the Bears, right?
Just when you think that they're ready to step up, just when you think that the Bears are there and that NFC North is there for them to take, they take a step back. And I don't want to put this one on Cutler, but if Cutler played better, they would have won. Those two interceptions were huge.
Yeah.
And they're 2-3 now, you know? And it looks like the Lions are so erratic, though.
Well, yeah, that was a bad loss. We got to talk about that. That was a big win by the Buffalo Bills. Wow.
Yeah. In fact, let's do that. Let's talk a little bit. Let's give Buffalo some credit. Buffalo wins. If you would have said Buffalo scored 17 points in Detroit, you'd be like, all right, well, they'll lose 31-17. So they score 17 points, and they hold the Lions to 14. So,
Marcel Darius and the boys.
Exactly. And your boy Kyle, 300 yards, reminiscing about the old days. What I don't get about Buffalo, though, and Buffalo isn't even on all four cylinders on offense, right? They can't get, and I have them both in two separate leagues, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. They can't really get their running game right. So they're trying, but at the end of the day, they threw the ball. Did you see Kyle Allen threw the ball 43 times?
Yeah.
But they held Stafford
Sammy
down.
Sammy Watkins. Yeah.
Yeah, they held Stafford down, and, you know, they put the lockdown on Megatron. Golden Tate had a huge game. But to go into Detroit and hold them to 14, you know what?
It's a big win.
That's a huge win. Huge win. Buffalo might
they lock Reggie Bush.
Give people some problems.
No, they're going to listen. Next week, Patriots, Bills. Great game. It's going to be a great game.
Patriots might be ready for a little upset. Just like I told you, there was no way that Bill Belichick was going to let, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals come in there and do their thing. By the same token, you know, the Bills might just, especially those AFC East teams, they know how to play each other.
Yeah, and I believe it's in
Buffalo.
Where
is that game? Is that in Orchard Park? Is that in Buffalo?
I think it's in Buffalo. You know, but also, Ray, you got to look at this, though, too. You know, this is the problem. The Stafford and Cutler, they are who they are. They're not. I hate to say it, and Caldwell can only do so much. Trestman can only do so much. These guys have got to change their mentality. They think that they're Favre, and they're not. Or if you're going to be Favre in this day and age, the turnovers are too costly because teams are too good. And they're killing their teams. Stafford and Cutler have all the talent, and they have the arms. They've got receivers. And they still give away games, and that's just going to be crucial. And the Packers could get on a roll here and be, you know, pull away from both these teams. So that was a bad loss. That was a bad loss.
Yeah,
so look,
that was.
We got to give props though to your boys. A big win to the Giants, 30-20 over the Falcons. They did their thing, and Odell Beckham Jr. gets a touchdown. Huge play.
Welcome
Eli and the
to
Giants
the NFL.
Are rolling. Yep, Eli and the Giants are rolling, Ray. But we got to talk about them Cowboys.
How about
20-17 in overtime. We both picked them to win. That was a great game. Both teams go back and forth. It was like a home game for the Houston Texans. They were all up in your building. I don't know what's going on with the Cowboy fans selling the tickets like that, but, I mean, DeMarco Murray, only two other men have done what Murray has done. And next week, if he does it week six, he'll tie Jim Brown, who did it for 6 weeks. But 4 weeks straight or 5 weeks straight now, he's run for over 100 yards. That in itself is amazing. I mean, to me, he's the leading rusher. He's the MVP candidate. And he is an offensive line is the reason why the Cowboys are 4-1, ladies and gentlemen. And when you put up 136 yards, And just
56
keep moving.
Receiving yards too.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy has almost 200 yards of total offense. He did
31
fumble,
carries,
though.
Right? Yes, he did fumble, and it was bad because it was like in a bad situation, and you know he's got to stop that. He was trying to extend the play. They could have blown the forward progress on that one. I was watching that. But 4.4 yards a carry. That's moving the chains. But again, you know what? We got to give Romo his credit. I like to rip him. He deserves it a lot, but him and Witten just moved into third all-time for, I think, yardage for tight ends. So shout-out to Jason, hard-hitting Jason Witten behind Gonzalez and Shannon Sharp, and I think he'll pass Shannon Sharp next week. Dez Bryant, though, Ray, that catch in overtime and that pass from Romo
was
huge.
Nine for
85 and a touchdown. Dez Bryant, to me, is easily top 3 to 5 receivers in the NFL. He's clutch, and he can catch anything, and he catches the most difficult balls. I don't know. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but you got to be happy, man. Dez Bryant's a stud, and the Cowboys are balling out right now. I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe those words are coming from my mouth. Romo, 324
yards. I don't believe
it
either, because remember, in our preseason, I predicted the Cowboys go 6-10, so they're already at 4 wins.
Yeah.
So I need to shout them out. We need to do an I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yep.
To Jerry Jones, to Jerry's World, to Valley Ranch, to, you know, the whole Cowboy Nation. Let's wait a little bit. But 4-1, good for them.
It's going to be fun next week. You've got the Cowboys going to Seattle and the Giants playing the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. So we're going to learn a lot about this NFC East. Real quick, before the Monday night game, we got to predict that. And Thursday night, Texans-Colts. The Eagles were lucky to hold on, Ray, with no offensive production, 34-28 over the Rams. That was ugly. Did you see that?
Yeah.
They're struggling.
You know,
where's Shady McCoy? You want to talk about fantasy football. Where is Shady at, yo? Ugh.
What is he averaging, 2-3 yards a carry? I mean, I don't know what's happening here, but I tell you what, they're still winning games, though.
Yeah, special teams.
You know what I mean? If you look at it and you say to yourself, all right, we keep winning. We didn't expect Dallas to be this good. The Giants got off to a slow start, but now they're picking up. Washington's a big
and
game.
Jeremy Maclin.
Seattle.
Maclin's been playing
great. But if you're the Eagles, you just keep winning. You've got to get that offensive line back and healthy, though, because ultimately if that offensive line doesn't come back.
Well, Lane Johnson came back, and I think Kelsey will be a couple more weeks. Lane Johnson was on suspension, but then they have Kelsey and somebody else out. So it might be some time for them. So, you know, that's the only thing about the Eagles. But definitely the NFL is very, very interesting. So let's end week five. Let's put a bow on it tonight. The Seattle Seahawks are going to Washington, D.C., where they last went in the playoffs and won against RG3's Redskins. They play the Redskins tonight. For me, when I look at this one, it's quite simple. I don't know if Kirk Cousins, now he's had, 10 days of practice, so if he's ready to do something, this is it. And they have the weapon to face this team. So on paper, this game, if Kirk is ready for it, this game could be pretty interesting. Miles Paul's going to play. And, you know, I just no Jordan Reed, but Miles Paul's been great stepping in for him. I think the Redskins are a lot tougher than people think. I'm not saying there's going to be an upset, but I'm saying there's going to be a good game tonight on Monday Night Football. I will take the Seahawks. Beast mode and Percy Harvin Russell Wilson just gets his first downs, 26-21, in a close, I guess, a close game. And I'll take the Seahawks winning over the Redskins, 26-21. Pierre Garçon, please.
And Alfred Morris does a little something. For all those people with Alfred on the fantasy.
Yeah, I see Morris getting you 80 and a touchdown.
The good thing about defense is that it travels. I think Seattle is going to go into Washington and hold the Skins down. Maybe they give up one or two big plays, but ultimately I think the Seahawks are humming, and I'm not sure the Redskins are ready to take down the Seahawks. So I think the Seahawks will score maybe 30, and the Redskins will score, so they'll win by a touchdown.
Okay. I buy that burger. Buy that for a dollar. So, well, we got to announce real quick that the Nats did pull it off. They won 4-1, so they live to fight another day and play against the Giants. And like we said earlier, the Dodgers Cardinals tonight tip off at the ball gets thrown at 9:07. Now, Thursday night, Ray. What are you thinking? We got a Thursday night game. So far, I don't know what you think about the Thursday night coverage. Bill Cowher and Deion, it's okay. Phil and Jim, I still haven't adjusted to hearing them on Thursdays, but the games have all been duds, basically. There have been so many blowouts. I think this week we actually have a real legitimate Thursday night game, and I think we could have a great game. I am ready for Ryan Mallett to get a shot because I think Fitzpatrick is just going to hold back the Texans, and you got to try something, even though I don't think he will. And I think the Colts will go to Houston with Richardson and Bradshaw, and I think Andrew Luck, again, on Thursday night will show the nation, even against the great J.J. Watt, who's just been a beast this year. I think the Colts will win a close one, 24-20, over the Texans in Houston on Thursday Night Football. Good game.
Yeah, it's hard to see on a short week. It's hard to see the Colts losing this game. But you know what? I'm going to go for the upset special. Mm. And I'm going to say that the first 2 weeks of the season, the Texans were showing me some things, and that was without Arian Foster. And now Arian Foster looks like he's back.
Oh, yeah, he
looked good. 2 years ago. So, you know, I have him in one of my fantasy teams. So, you know, I got feelings for Arian. So, you know what? If you can run the ball, and hopefully Andre Johnson can – do something. Kemba,
he's got an injury. You know, but
does.
Hopkins,
it's like
DeAndre, that's my guy in fantasy, DeAndre Hopkins.
That's
and
your
I
man?
Played him this week. He got me the W. He rewarded
me. So I'm going to go on a short week at home. I'm going to go with Houston. I'm going to say that Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't throw 2-3 interceptions, put his team in a bad position. Hopkins, Foster, Graham, they move the chains, they put up enough, they hold on, and they win in a pretty high-scoring game. I think this game will be 30-28, and Andrew Luck falls a little bit short in the fourth quarter. So I'm going with those Texans. How about them Texans?
How about them Texans? You know, I can't be mad at you with that one. It should be fun either way. You know, that's going to be a good one. One thing we got to mention, the 72 Dolphins, drinking their champagne, Ray. That was, you know, the Arizona
Cardinals.
This was
one of the earliest seasons, what, in week five.
Yes.
One of the earliest
seasons
that the Cincinnati Bengals, the only undefeated team, went down.
That's right. Well, Cincinnati and Arizona. Yeah.
Arizona, yeah.
They both lost this week. So, shout out to the 72 Dolphins, Greasy and Shula and Mercury Morris. They're happy, huh?
Do they really do that? Crack the champagne this early in the season?
Whenever the teams lose.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Hey, my Steelers won. They beat the Jaguars, you know, so I was happy about that.
That almost
I noticed
so
our
I was
picks,
holding
pick
my breath
Ray,
for you.
Ray's in first place doing his thing with the picks. Young William Beeman is
on. I was holding my breath
I...
about your Steelers on that one.
Hey, a win is a win, right? Win in advance, right? We got to take it. W is
exactly.
In NFL.
Win and move on.
Yeah. Great show. We'll be back on Friday and watch the baseball playoffs, baby. It's going to be fun. Let's go Dodgers.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, we'll talk to you guys on Friday. Have a great sports week. Do your thing. Enjoy the baseball playoffs. Enjoy Sunday night football. Monday night football. Thursday night football.
All of
it. We'll be back.
Talking sports with friends. Go Hawks. My boy Russell Wilson would say.